Gary Ross, who directed The Hunger Games, appears will not direct the sequel to The Hunger Games called Catching Fire.
Because everyone wants to pass up $100 million worth of movie revenue in the next film.
Well, it's a little unclear as to why he's not doing it. He worked on the screenplay with the original novel author Suzanne Collins for the version of Hunger Games that's in the theaters today. It's a huge hit.
Yes, it is.
A surprisingly big hit, actually, and it's the largest grossing film not released over a holiday time or in the summer. So
and still going strong.
That's kind of it is not only in the States but all over the world. But Gary Ross, who tends to take a prodigious amount of time when he does a movie, has decided that the production time is just too short, so he's going to back away from the next project, and so we'll see what happens. But there's a lot of money, a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation about making the second film. There's three films, or there's three novels anyway, so you assume that there's
and
three
it's very
films.
Early on. If they acquiesce to some of his demands, he could very well sign back on.
According to the press, of course, you never know what's actually being said. It's not so much about money, it's that they want to start production in August, and he just doesn't feel that there's enough time to do everything that's necessary to prepare to shoot the movie in August, because they're looking for a Thanksgiving 2013 release.
So, well, I'm sure there'll be a long line of directors willing to stand up and become a part of that franchise.
Yeah, we'll see. So, boy, that has caught fire for sure, and we'll look forward to seeing what happens there. Now, another film that's been in the press a lot in a much different way is there's the film Bully, which is being released right now. It's going to actually open next
week. Most people haven't
seen
it. It's already polarizing.
Well, it opens next week at the State Theater, so we're happy that it's coming to Ann Arbor. And at first, it wasn't going to get a PG-13 rating, because it's really a movie about middle school kids, and so the distributors wanted middle school kids to be able to go see it. It was going to get an R rating, and so they were just going to release it unrated. There's no legal restrictions on these ratings.
It's an advisory.
It's an advisory rating, and theaters can either ignore them or embrace them or whatever. And the powers that be in the film exhibition industry want chains to enforce these, and if they don't enforce them, then they will wag their finger at them. But there was such a concern about this particular movie, and frankly, the ratings system is a Wisdom of Solomon kind of dynamic. I remember a few years ago there was a really wonderful movie called Billy Elliot, mm-hmm. which was about a junior high school kid who ends up, he's from a working class family, but he ends up having a lot of dance talent, and he ends up going to a dance academy, which is a big surprise for his family and for him. And it was rated R, and the only reason it was rated R was because the father just tended to use the F word a lot.
Part of the rating standard, there is actually a number to which you may not exceed to achieve an R rating.
You can say X number of F words, but if you say Y number, then it automatically goes into a different rating category. So there was no violence, there was no nudity, there was, and they said the F word in a very strong Irish brogue, and you couldn't even tell it was the F word if you were in the United States. But anyway, so it was kind of silly. But anyway, it's exactly the same thing here. These junior high school kids are using the F word more than you would like to see a junior high school kid use the F word. But
I've had two kids go through middle school, and you know what? Depending on which circle of friends you hang out with, it's either very common or it's almost non-existent.
That's right.
But it all exists in the same building.
But you would think that a movie about bullies that would be the group that might use that word a little more aggressively. So with a lot, they were going to release it unrated, but finally they decided that they were going to remove three F words.
So that it now qualifies.
See,
I don't think the story's going to suffer because the three were removed, so did it have to be there in the first place? I understand that argument. At the same time, it's still there. It's still present. And did the three make a difference in the rating? I don't get it. It's like the NCAA makes no sense.
Well, it's true. And it is a kind of Wisdom of Solomon dynamic. So when you're trying to quantify, you know, these kinds of ratings. But anyway, so there it is. So Bully is going to be here in Ann Arbor next week, and it starts playing around the country, and all of that controversy may shade.
And it's a Weinstein Brothers film, and from those who have seen it and the reviews that I've seen, they think it vitally important.
Yes.
That middle school children
right.
be exposed to this movie.
Well, and that's why, because it's targeted at that group and some bad behavior that goes on there. Yeah. Well, anyway, so we actually have movies opening this week. And this week we've got The Cabin in the Woods opening at the Multiplex. Now, this is a Josh Wheaton, Drew Goddard film. Josh Wheaton is probably best known for Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly, those two TV shows.
I've heard his name bandied about for Hunger Games next film, too.
Maybe. And he's a very clever guy, and he does a very clever turn on the horror film genre with this film Cabin in the Woods. All the reviews basically say the same thing, which is Cabin goes beyond the parody of Scream franchise into darker, richer territory. Even when all hell breaks loose, the hell is cushioned by air quotes, and the audience is buckled up for benign, heady fun. So the reviews on this have been very good. Cabin in the Woods is a sideways twist on the horror genre that should be a lot of fun in the hands of a very clever guy, Josh Wheaton. Lockout stars Guy Pearce and Maggie Grace about a falsely convicted ex-government agent who goes out in space. He's in a prison colony out in space. The script was co-written by Luke Besson, who did The Fifth Element,
was just a bizarre movie.
Yeah, he's a really interesting French filmmaker. But this film has not gotten great reviews, about 40% positive reviews. And one critic said the committee production of newbie director James Mather with the producer Luc Besson said Lockout is unexpectedly a potluck of derivative references. So I could have read that better, but witty one-liners compensate for cliched plotting and cheesy
effects. The movie was
effects.
As good as the sentence.
That's right. There we go. I just wanted to reflect that. And then The Three Stooges actually opens up. This is a comedy fake biopic of the Three Stooges. I mean, it's not about the real guys who
right.
played the Three Stooges. It's a movie about the Three Stooges, who in this movie were all orphaned when they
it's
were
about
babies.
How they became Stoogie.
Exactly. And, you know, of course, when they were orphaned, they all had the same haircuts that they did as adults. So, which, you know.
Well, you had to expect it was going to be somewhat silly. But from what I've seen, and even as they do press for it in character, they do an impressive job.
Yes, well, it's directed by the Farrelly brothers, who are very good at comedy. And they picked actors who would do exact replicas of the performances of Larry, Moe, and Curly. So we'll see. There are no internet reviews for this movie.
And I think, you know, the pre-production decision to leave out Shemp was just brilliant.
Well, Shemp came in later after Curly died, so... anyway, it could be fun. It could be silly. Sean Hayes plays Larry Fine. Will Sasso plays Curly Howard. I'm sorry, and William Diamantopoulos plays Mo Howard. So we'll see what happens. Jane Lynch plays the Mother Superior.
You know, I'll watch her in just about anything. I think she's hysterical.
Absolutely. Well, Norwegian Wood is a Japanese film that opens at the Michigan Theater that is really fascinating. It's set in the 1960s in Tokyo, and it's about this man who has a long-term relationship with a woman. There's a lot of tragedy that's tinged in their relationship because of death of friends and things. And so this young man meets another woman who's really just the opposite of the woman that he's currently in love with, and it ends up getting to be a choice of these two. It's very meditative. It's very beautiful. The film's called Norwegian Wood, and you want to go check that out. It's based on a famous Japanese novel. And then Raid Redemption is an Indonesian chop sake martial arts film that is pure adrenaline.
Start to finish.
Start to finish. They assault this building, and for 2 hours. They are martial art their way through this building.
You're exhausted when you leave, aren't you?
And it's just one fight topped by another fight topped by another fight. So if you're into that thing, this is exactly the best picture you'll ever see.
Almost a compilation video.
It is. It's really amazing the way they build it and build it and build it. I saw it at Sundance, and it is a lot of fun, but it is a particular kind of genre film. We also have the Banff Mountain Film Festival coming up on April 15th. If you like outdoors film, Martin Bandyke's film Blank City is this Monday, and the Screen Arts and Cultures do their special honor screening on April 18th. You want to check that out.
Yeah, that'll be fun, too. For Russ Collins, I'm David Fair. We both thank you for joining us for this week's installment of Cinema Chat. You only find it on 89.1 WEMU. Well done.